It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Allura, and I would like to welcome you to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight's show is all about animal communication. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming our brand new co-host, Jackie Hahn. Welcome to The Psychic View, Jackie. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you, Allura.
Well, we're so glad to have you with us. Jackie, would you tell us a bit about what you do?
Oh, I would love to. I have been with Psychic Access for a couple of months now, and I am a angelic communicator. I work with the angelic realm. I bring through messages from the angels that are always filled with love and compassion. And my mission in life and my purpose is to really empower and uplift and help people find that sense of themselves through my readings and being able to help them really work through, you know, any blocks or anything that's getting in their way.
Thank you. Thanks for that. That'll be awesome. Well, we're looking forward to hearing more from the angels during our psychic reading section. So that'll be really neat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maureen, sure. Maureen, our lovely Maureen, will be joining us a little later on in the show. And for now, I'd like to also like to invite Steve, our wonderful, gifted psychic Steve, to introduce himself, if he would. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Allura. Thank you. I'm really excited about the show and really pleased that Jackie is with us. So welcome, Jackie. My name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, and I work on Psychic Access as well, giving readings by video chat and telephone. So I work directly with spirit and channel guidance for clients, whilst also providing evidence of the afterlife from
our mission is to reach up with our guides and connect with as many people as possible. So be sure to include others in on our show. I'm also really excited to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. Hello, Cynthia Siegel, are you there with us? Hello, it's an honor to have you with us tonight as our guest. And as I mentioned, we'll be talking about animal communication. So welcome to the show, Cynthia. We're so glad to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Cynthia, one of the things I'd like to ask is, how did you get into animal communication? A lot of people are interested in it, but how many people do we know actually do this? So tell us how you got into the field, if you would, please.
It's a very interesting story. I spent 30 years designing computer systems to get ready for this. And then one day while I was sitting in my living room, minding my own business, which when you get to know me, you'll know I never do, a girlfriend called and she was panicked. She said she had to take her dad to the hospital and couldn't find her keys. Car keys, and I saw them behind some books on a white table. And I said to her, you know, what I saw, and we both at the same time said, well, how do you know that? And I'm thinking, where did that come from? And she said, well, they can't be on the white table because they're, oh my God, they fell behind the books. And both of us at the same time said, how did you know that? And I said to her, I don't know, but don't call me again.
Did it scare you? It scared you to
it
know
didn't.
That you could know?
It was just most miraculous. I couldn't figure it out. And it appeared that I had received a huge download, still using computer terms, of every psychic skill you've ever heard about or read about. And it was up to me to become aware of them. It really was a most miraculous happening.
That is so neat. How did you know? How did your ability to communicate with animals come into your awareness?
When I was talking to a business client, actually he was in Spain, and he asked if he could ask me a question about his wife, and I said sure, and the answer was excellent. And then he asked if he could ask me a question about his daughter, and I said sure. And then he said, can I ask you a question about my dog? And I thought, well, why not? We're on a roll. And that was how I found out.
Wow, that is so neat. Why do you offer animal communication as part of your psychic services?
Because I think it's tremendously important to understand how simple animals' minds are and how full of love they are. So everyone that has a pet is clear at some level that they're receiving unconditional love from their animal, but they really don't have the knowledge that the animal has so much more to offer. And so people will say, oh yes, you know, I talk to my dog all the time. But you're not really talking to your dog. What the dog hears, and this is what dogs have told me, so let's say the dog's name is Fido, and you say, oh, Fido, I'm so happy you're in my life. I love you so much. I couldn't live without you. I'm so grateful for you. What Fido hears is, blah, blah, Fido, blah, 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 blah. So the dog is looking at you because it heard its name, and people think they're communicating. When you move into the realm of telepathy, which is animal communication, then there is no language except from the heart. And the dogs completely understand. Dogs, cats, birds, ants, everything understands when we release ourselves from the need to speak in a language.
Very good. Oh, that's so neat. Would you recommend, when it comes to vets, because those of us who have animals, the worst thing is when they get sick and you don't know why they're hurting or what's happening. Would you recommend people to call an animal communicator before calling a vet when issues with our animals come up? And if so, why?
If this was a perfect world, everyone would be calling an animal communicator first before they went to the vet, unless the vet is an animal communicator, which I pray that happens very soon. So when you take your little puppy to the vet, he's going to do his best based on his knowledge. He's going to run tests. He's going to narrow things down. And the poor little puppy is going to have to sit there until you discover what it is. When you speak to an animal communicator, and I actually charge $25 for this service, I'll talk to the little puppy and find out what's wrong. So now you can go to the vet and say, the dog has a problem with its inner larynx, or there's a bladder infection, or there's something wrong with his left lung. So when the doctor goes to run tests, he doesn't have to do the whole body of tests. He can zero in, and then it's less pressure on you, it's less stress on your little puppy, and everybody gets healthy faster.
Excellent. Now, do you find that often problems or health, what appears to be a health issue, and of course the only alternative we would know what to do with it would be to take our pet to a vet, are issues often taken care of by first talking to an animal communicator where you may not even have to take your animal to a vet?
That's the beauty of it. That's the absolute gift in it. A client was speaking to me the other day, and she said she thinks her dog is sick because he's losing weight. And so I had a little chat with the dog, and it turns out she's introduced a third dog to the house, and the third dog has decided to be the alpha male. And what she does is puts the food down in the kitchen. They all eat out of one bowl, and then she leaves. So the dog doesn't have a chance to get to the food dish.
Oh, goodness. So the dog isn't eating.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that's a great example. And
it is,
when,
because there's no way that a vet could know that, because she didn't know that, because she's not in the room.
Right, exactly. So when people ask a question, what normally do animal communicators charge to ask that one question, if they want to do that?
I'm not sure what others charge. I charge $25 because it's just a simple question and a simple answer. If it needs to be a longer session, then we can do that as well. But really my goal is to put people at ease and to keep animals out of having endless tests done on them or being locked away in the hospital for days till the doctor figures out what's wrong.
Right, exactly. Right, well, that's excellent information to have. I would never have thought of that without you telling me about that. What is the animal's perspective when they go to a vet? What's it like for them?
It's always a great deal of fear. It's just a great deal of fear. And the fear starts first because their people, as they call their owners, their people is experiencing fear and upset about something. But unless you're communicating with your animal, the animal doesn't know why you're expressing fear and upset, but all of a sudden you've grabbed the animal and now still expressing great fear, you're driving off someplace with this little animal that's just trying to figure out what's wrong. Like, you know, the dog is sitting there going, I have a tummy ache. I don't like what you fed me the last 3 days. And you're thinking, oh, my God, he's got diarrhea and there's something internal and he's dying and who knows what. And so the dog is reading this energy from you. And by the time you get to the vet, the dog is so freaked out. And then he's put in a waiting room with other dogs that are freaked out. It's just really not a fun experience.
So it just feeds off one off of the other. You know, it's funny because that's so true. I worry about my pets like I worry about, you know, my family members, because they are my family members. And I never really stopped to think about that. But she does. She shakes when I put her in the car. So she knows where we're going, you know, when I take her to the vet. As an animal healer, how do you work with animals to heal them?
I do all my readings over the telephone. So the dog doesn't have to physically be with me. And the dog doesn't have to, dog or cat or bird, doesn't have to physically be with the owner. What I ask the owner to do is visualize holding the pet in their arms, and that's enough for me to pick up the animal's energy pattern so that I can communicate with them.
Very good. How do we know when it's time to let our animals pass on?
Oh, good question, my love.
Yeah.
That's
really a tough one.
I have a sister who raises thoroughbred puppies, and when my cat was nearing the end, before I had the skill set, I called to ask her, and she said, it's very simple, it's quality of life. Is the animal functioning and happy, then everything's fine. If the animal is not functioning and happy, then you're keeping it around to serve you. The beautiful thing about an animal communicator is that we can just talk to the pet and say, so what's up? You want to hang in here? You ready to go? A lot of times the animal will not go until the person understands that it's not because I don't like you anymore that I'm leaving. So they'll actually hang around through a great deal of pain to continue expressing love to their owners.
Wow. That's very interesting. So we could do a lot to serve them by letting them go when it's time, or at least that would be my one call to you, of course, you know, for my $25 question, very definitely, that and the vet. How do you suggest we think of our animals to help them deal with us as humans, the fact that we don't know, you know, what we're doing half the time, or we don't communicate with them, you know, like we do with other people?
Yes. The first thing that I would strongly suggest is that everyone think their ideas to their animals rather than talking in English. And because the animal will respond. So they'll be able to pick up, they are picking up what you're thinking, but you're confusing them with language. So they kind of, they get your energy, they're picking up your energy pattern, whether it's fear or love or stress. And then when you couple it with words, it's just very confusing to them. So I would just love to see everybody learning how to do pet communication, which is just very simply telepathy.
And I know. Excellent. So that answers the next question, which is how do animals think? They think through telepathy. Any other way do they think, or how we can send our information to them when we communicate?
The easiest way would be through telepathy, because it doesn't involve language, so it's much simpler for them to pick up.
So would pictures or feelings also be included with that?
Absolutely. Feelings especially are very clear communication to an animal, and pictures would be a cute way to start, and what you would get is a dog looking at you with a puzzled face, wondering why you're communicating in pictures when they're perfectly capable of receiving full thoughts.
Well, let me ask you that. So full thoughts versus pictures, what is the difference then in terms of communicating with them? Like when you communicate with an animal, do you send full thoughts through pictures? I'm trying to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I may be missing that. So I wanted to ask you that. What is the best way to clearly communicate? Because it sounds like you're differentiating between telepathy and pictures.
I just do full sentences.
Like in words?
I did a session with a client, and he asked if I could just check in with his two dogs because he's going on vacation with the dogs for 3 weeks. So I did. And the one of them, the little girl, said to me, please get him off my back. He just won't let me alone for a minute. He's afraid that I'm going to get bit by the big dog again. And I promise you, I'm taking better care of myself. That's not happening. So I said all this to him, and he said, oh, my God. He said, last year when we went to the same place, a big dog came in the yard and bit her, and it took quite a while for her to recover from it. And so he is afraid to let her outside, and he has been guarding her endlessly for the last year.
Oh, that's cute. So when you communicate with them, you communicate instead of verbal words. They're actually psychically, you send those words, or telepathically, you think in words to them rather than say it. Is that what you mean?
Yes, I think in full sentences, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they're quite advanced creatures. As a matter of fact, if I was to think in anything less than full sentences, they would probably wonder what my problem was.
That's interesting. So how is it that they understand telepathically the words but not verbally? What is the difference?
I can't answer how, except that through telepathy, I want to say telepathy is like a universal translator, if you remember that from Star Trek.
Yes.
Right? They had this little machine they could turn on, and suddenly everyone was understanding everyone. So when we use telepathy, even though we're thinking in our language, we're sending whole thoughts, and somehow they're picking up the energy of the thought, and it comes back to me in a language I can understand. So I can actually communicate with a dog. I have a client in Hungary, and he doesn't speak very clear English at all. It's a bit challenging to communicate with him, but it's so easy to communicate with the dog.
Oh, wow. So now, that's excellent. So to a logical mind, what you said makes sense, the difference between the two. So my next question would be, in receiving telepathically from them, mm-hmm. Do you receive also in sentences?
I would have to say yes. It's a whole story complete with their feelings on what's up with their people, because most of the time the problem with the pet is with the people. It's not with the pet. It's the people just doesn't understand, or as they like to call it, their people.
Their people.
My people,
okay.
Just doesn't understand.
That's awesome.
Thank
you. What is it about an animal's nature that is important for us to understand to make life easier for them?
They're very simple creatures. They do not hold on to things. I wish we could be as clear as they are. Something happens, they go through the experience, and then they release it. They don't keep stories for a long time unless you do, unless you won't give them freedom from the episode that happened, like the little one that got bit when they were on vacation. So it's
right.
Really
I'm sorry.
It was really the person that was hanging on to it, not the pet.
So they let go. They live totally in the moment, and they let go of it once it's done and gone. There's no grudges, no resentments, nothing like that.
No, they don't do grudges and resentments. They do misunderstanding. Like, you know, they may not understand why a person acted that way, but then it's gone.
And so they're super sensitive to us, really. And they're open to receive so that we understand their needs. Is that correct?
Yes. And I had a client that called. She was in England. She lived in Florida. And she left her dog for 3 weeks with a dog sitter who had been previously introduced to the dog. The puppy was new to her life and was a rescue dog. And what happened is that nobody told the puppy that this woman was coming back. So she knew the puppy was going. She knew the people was going because the woman kept telling her, you know, I'm going on vacation. And she saw her packing and everything, so she knew she was going. But nobody told her she was coming back. So that little piece was missing. And the next thing that happened in the little puppy's life is this man walked into the house. Now, so the puppy ran and hid under the bed, and by the time I was contacted, the puppy had been under the bed for 38 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Not coming out to eat or anything. And it turns out that the puppy had been abused not too long before the woman got her by a man, physically abused, you know, kicked and like that.
Oh.
So when a man stepped in, it was like, oh, my God, this is going to be my new life. I've already done this. I don't want this again. So what I had him do, and it's interesting because he was gay, so I knew that if the puppy could get to the man's heart, there wouldn't be a problem. There would be an instant bonding. So what I had him do is when he pulled up to the house, before he went into the house, he was to sit in the car and hold the dog in his arms and send the dog love, unconditional love, just pour love from his heart into the puppy, and not talk when he was in the house. Because the puppy is totally aware when you're putting out food or when you're changing. The little puppy had floor diapers and things. So, the dog is totally aware of what's going on. And by him not talking, so this happened, I have to say, 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And 7 o'clock that night, I got a picture that this gentleman took on his iPhone of the puppy licking his face all over.
Oh, how sweet. So really, it's just a matter of sending communication of unconditional love before going into the house and actually having a physical, physically being in the house with the puppy. That's what you're saying.
In that case, because the puppy, you know, was afraid of a man. So we just eliminated the male voice.
Correct. Okay, now I understand, in the male energy. So is it true, you know how we often say our animals know the character of a person when they walk in, they'll react to that person? What is it that they're really reacting to? Because I notice my dog will do that. She'll react very differently to different people upon first meeting. And I notice it will have a lot to do with that person's nature. I just happen to know their nature, and I notice that she'll hone in on all of that, it seems, anyway.
Mm-hmm. What they're reading is the person's energy. So I guess to put it simply, they're reading the level of love that that person is capable of.
Oh, very interesting, because they take a liking to some and don't like others.
Uh-huh. And really, the amount of love that we as humans can express is really limited by the amount of love we can show ourselves. So people that really love themselves tend to have lots of babies and animals attracted to them. And people that are very insecure or just not comfortable with themselves or going through something, then you'll find babies cry in their arms and dogs, you know, bark at them and cats hiss at them. And it's very interesting to watch.
That is. So what you're saying, one of the functions, I guess that's the only, I don't know how else to put this, that an animal, a significant part or role that an animal can play in our lives is if we understand them, and we understand how to communicate with them or to read them, as you're saying, we can understand more about ourselves through them and how they react to us and others, correct?
That's very true. I never made that connection before. That's absolutely true, especially with strange animals. If you're able to walk up to a strange dog just by expressing love, then that's a great indicator of how you're doing in terms of taking care of yourself. I never thought of that. That's very clever.
Well, when you said they'll read the capacity that a person has for love and how much you can love yourself, that's how I made that. You know, that's why I kind of thought, oh, that's really neat. They're like a barometer, you know, for ourselves. And I thought that was neat.
Yeah. That's very true, because I remember I was working in Ottawa, Ontario, on a computer contract quite a while ago, and I had a pussycat that I loved to bits and pieces, and I remember coming home from work one day, and it was just one of those horrendous, everything went wrong, I'm not going back again kind of day, and I was sitting on the couch stewing, and I noticed that my cat was sitting on the other end of the couch, all, like, tucked away, just watching me. And then it dawned on me that the cat hadn't come near me to say hello.
It's because of the way you felt, right?
Right. So he was just waiting till I calmed down.
Oh, that is too funny. Because they're super psychic, aren't they? And super sensitive.
Animals, I want to say all animals, are connected to the energy of the planet. So their very survival depends on being connected to Mother Earth. So it's just a natural connection to continue that with every living thing on the planet as well. That's how they communicate.
Excellent. So neat. Okay. So now I've seen instances where, say, a dog. Now, I usually almost always get people say to me, wow, my dog never really reacts to people like that. They seem to like me right away. They'll even jump in my lap, right? So, but I remember one instance when I was a kid and a dog. There was a bunch of us kids. It was at my school, and it was after school, and we all ran up to pet this German Shepherd. He was so cool. I loved animals, and he looked at me and tried to bite me out of all the kids. Why? And I noticed there was another Great Dane that did that to a friend of mine. We were all petting this Great Dane, and I could feel the dog get mad at this friend of mine who was a wonderful person. And, boy, he looked at him, started growling. I said, you better back away because he's bigger than we both are. So why is it that that sometimes happens?
Because they're reading your energy. They're reading at a deeper level than you're conscious of.
Okay.
And so, I get the same thing since I've started using this gift, if you will, this skill set, I like to call it. When I go to a home that has dogs or cats or birds, they just won't leave me alone. It's like, oh, my God, someone we can talk to. This is so great. We have company.
Oh, that is so neat. So with that, I guess the next question I'm going to ask is, are animals frustrated with their people?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Because they realize that they're in your life to bring you unconditional love, and people will be people. They have a great capacity for putting up with us.
That must be for sure.
So they train us to the best of our ability, which actually is to the best of our ability to receive training, which is why some people will say, oh, I know when my dog wants food, or I know when my dog wants to go out, because the dog has trained you. After many, many attempts, you finally figured out what they were trying to communicate. And so now you think you're communicating because the dog is at the door giving you this baleful look, which means I need to go outside now.
So really, they train us, not the other way around.
Absolutely. I've heard this cutest joke. It's two aliens talking about what's going on planet Earth. And they say, you know what? These little four-legged things are running the planet. They're doing an amazing job. Just take a look. And so they look down, and they see a dog leading a people on a leash. And then when the dog makes a mess, the people comes forward quickly and scoops it up.
Right. They lead us humans around for us to scoop up their poop.
Exactly.
Got it. That's really good. Now, what part do they play on Earth for us?
Just to be an example of unconditional love.
Excellent.
And everyone who has a pet will always say, sort of, you know, hesitantly, I love my animal more than I love my family, but I love my family. I'm always hearing that. And it's because the pets just give unconditional love. They'll get upset if there's something missing, like food, or they need a walk, and you're not responding. So then, you know, they'll get louder and louder until you get the message. But basically, they're just here to snuggle and cuddle.
Right. Okay. And do animals mourn? What is their emotional nature like? I guess that's the more correct question I want to ask. How can we understand them emotionally better?
I do know a cat, actually, right now that's in mourning for its brother who passed away recently. So it's just kind of a lonely feeling, and I pray I don't test people's beliefs with this next statement. But the animals are communicating with their dearly departed. What they're missing is the physical comfort, much like when someone that we love passes away. You miss the physical comfort just of having them there.
Right. Right. Just like we do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So even though they know that passing on is, they understand naturally that passing on is a natural process, they just miss
yeah.
their companions physically, just like we do.
Uh-huh, someone to play with. And for the most part, they're still in communication with the pet that's passed.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Because they're so sensitive, do they see into those or hear in those, into those dimensions like we do? Or for those of us who are who develop those skills, you know, who wish to develop those skills, they are still in communication with their friends and so forth?
That's
who
been
passed
my
on?
Experience. That's been my experience. Yep.
Great. Well,
it
can
really
you tell us
amazing.
Some stories about your experiences with animals and their humans, Cynthia?
There's an echo just started on the line. Would you repeat the question?
Sure. Can you please tell us some stories about your experiences with animals and their humans?
Absolutely. Gosh, where to start? There was one woman who called, and her dog was at the hospital for 3 days now and had just been put on IV. And she went to visit, and the dog was shaking so badly, she even holding her couldn't get the dog to stop. And so I said to her, well, what's wrong with the dog? And she says, well, they don't know. They're still running tests. So I had a chat with the dog, and it turns out that the dog was getting older now, and the woman who owned the dog wasn't really understanding that it had to go to the bathroom when it had to go. It couldn't hold it like it did when it was younger. So the dog, very trying to please its owner, would pee only on the bath mat, trying not to make a mess, you know, and continually going in the same place. So the woman would come home all pissed off, the bath mat, and I'd throw it in the wash. So the dog thought this was great because now it had a clean bath mat to go on again. And it always went in the same place. So the owner was getting really angry, and so the dog thought, well, okay, I'll have to do something else. And it stopped drinking as much water. So it actually created itself to be dehydrated. And what the owner did to combat that was put the puppy in a diaper.
Oh,
so
wow.
Now you have this dog that's not drinking because it doesn't want to pee and get the owner upset. And the owner has reacted by putting the dog in a diaper, thinking, well, it's going to help, you know, keep the house clean and save the bath mat. And now dogs, I don't know if you've noticed or not, they need to clean themselves all the time. So what resulted was that the dog got a little bladder infection. And that was it. That was the whole problem that the dog had, was a little bladder infection. And when I saw the dog, the only thing I could see was heat around, you know, where the diaper would sit, if you will. And I said to her, I see heat around her bum. Like, what is up with that? And she said to me, oh, I keep her in a diaper. I said, okay, well, whoa. Let's stop the whole process right now. And so we did, and we got over the whole thing, and the woman understood and everything. And so I'm telepathing to the dog where the woman is now in her understanding, and I said to her, bring the dog home from the hospital immediately. And she said, oh, they want to test it for cancer, this or that or the other. I said, okay, so tell you what. They've done the test. They're waiting for the results. Bring the dog home immediately. If the dog has these things, you can always bring the dog back. In the meantime, the dog will be at home tonight and out of the kennel. So she brought the dog home. The test came back negative. They cleared up the bladder infection, and everyone lived happily ever after.
Oh, that's excellent. I want you to hang on to that thought because I want to hear a little bit more, some more animal stories and your experiences, if you would. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is The Psychic View, and we're speaking with Cynthia Siegel, our animal communicator specialist. Cynthia, one of the things I wanted to ask you is this type of communication limited to animals? Can we use the same type of communication with wasps or butterflies or insects? You know, other things that we don't normally think of as animals per se, but also, you know, our other creatures. I wanted to ask you if you've had any experience with that.
Or clouds or trees. Absolutely. Everything that has a life force is open to communication. We are the only ones that are shut off.
Your answer.
The whole planet is in joyful communication. Every animal and every creature, every plant is in joyful communication. We're the only ones that are not aware of what's going on. I think perhaps if we were in communication, we would have developed much differently as a species on this planet.
I agree with you. And I think now with the frequencies coming in, I'm hoping that a lot of people take the opportunity. There's a lot of fear, I know, surrounding everything. But or with the times, you know, the economic times and situations that we're in at the moment. But I think it's also an opportunity to develop ourselves along these lines, to go inward and really search ourselves. Because when we go through troubled times, I know for me, that's my rock, my spiritual side. I turn to that whenever things are very tough. So I'm hoping, and I certainly am going to make every effort to do the same, that people really make use of this time that we're going through to go inward, soul search, and maybe connect with that side of themselves. Because I believe that if you do that, that's what brings out the magic in life, right? When you can walk outside and everything is alive, it's an animal you're talking to, a tree you're talking to, an insect or whatever. That to me is the coolest thing in the world, to be able to talk to everything and get its perspective and its knowledge and its wisdom.
It's absolutely heavenly. I was on my way to the car one time and kind of a little late, so moving at a fast pace, and all of a sudden I hear, "Stop!" And so I stopped, and I knew that it was in my head, so I didn't expect to see a people around. You know, it wasn't like an out loud stop. And I looked down, and honest to God, there's an ant crossing my path.
That is great.
It made me feel so good.
That is so amazing. And I think that is the magic of life. When you can do that with everything, the world comes alive.
Yes, the world is alive. Absolutely.
That is so neat. So, you know, I want to ask you then, how can we communicate with our animals? I mean, what is a procedure we can use to do that, to practice communicating with our animals?
Thank you for asking this question. So this is the way I teach people to communicate with their animals, is to first be in a room where the animal is not, so that you're not judging your reaction based on the animal's behavior. And what you do is envision holding the animal in your arms, close to your heart, and just hug it and pour love into it and create in your mind a blank movie screen or a dark, deep well, something like that. And on that movie screen, put the words that you want to communicate to the animal. And then after a while, you'll receive words back on that movie screen or just planted in your head. So what you're doing is creating, I want to call it a listening space, which we really don't have because the mind is working so quickly, healing all sorts of, the whole world of metaphysics happens in the space between thoughts. But how often do we stop having a thought, even for a second? Even if you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm not thinking about anything, you're still...
True. That's true.
By creating the blank screen, it allows a space for information to come to you. So while you're concentrating on creating the blank screen, information can come to you.
That is excellent information. So we would visualize holding the animal in our arms and make sure they're not physically with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to try that because I haven't done that yet, but I definitely intend to do that because that's a skill I had when I was younger, always wanted to develop, and that's my intention. So I'm setting it here. It is my decree. There we go. So thank you so much for that. I do want to ask you this. Is there a difference, and I don't know if you've done this, I don't know if you've communicated with wild animals, but is there a difference in communication between domesticated animals and wild animals?
I'm hearing yes, and the difference with... They're so cute. I don't know where this message is coming from, but what I'm hearing is that they have way less tolerance for people.
Ha! The wild animals.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And that makes a lot of sense now that I hear it.
Sure. They're wild. They can be, you know, their instincts can be triggered. I think that's really interesting. I guess that would make sense because nothing is by coincidence, right? And if domesticated animals come into our lives and into our households, they are meant to be there with us to teach us the unconditional love and so forth, whereas wild animals aren't in our homes with us.
Yes, and as a rule, wild animals are reacting to us taking away their you know, front yard. We're chopping down their front yard.
Correct. And we don't really have much respect. We kind of think they're at our mercy, actually, very often. And we're not very merciful in the main. You know, I'm talking about, generally speaking, like the whale hunting and the, you know, the way we kind of deal with animals. So I think that's very interesting. Thank you so much for that insight. Cynthia, you are featured in a recent movie. Will you talk to us about it? Tell us the name of the movie and talk to us about what it's about.
The movie is called Real People, Real Shifts. And what it basically does is give people permission to develop their psychic skills. There's so many people on the planet that have had gut feelings or more, or are having gut feelings and way more, like palms heating up or receiving information. There's so much going on now that if I was, you know, in my old world, my computer world, and my palm heated up and I had a feeling I was doing a healing on someone, and I went to my friend and said, wow, you know, this just happened, the friend would look at me and go, right, you know, whatever. So it's difficult if you're the only one in your group that's experiencing some awakening or some awareness or consciousness. You're really kind of on your own. There's not a lot of people in your group you can go to talk about it, which means you have to make new friends or be on your own or just bury the experience. And so this movie is all about, I think there's seven of us in the movie, just talking about how it happened for us. And interestingly enough, of the people in the movie, I'm the only one that really got divorced from my family and all my friends when this happened. So you need to create your own cheerleading squad. And this is true of so many things in life. If what you want is making your heart sing, put yourself in a position where everyone else's good opinion of you doesn't matter.
Excellent. That's excellent advice. Cynthia, on that note, unfortunately, I have to say goodnight. I think it has been so wonderful. I could talk to you for hours. You already know that because we've done that already. Oh, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Cynthia. I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing your insights on our animals and animal communication with us tonight. Thanks for joining us, and have a great night.
Thank you, honey, and create a great day.
I will. Thank you so much. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can find Cynthia Siegel's information at www.CynthiaSiegel.com. That's www.CynthiaSiegel.com. And you can also find her information on our guests page at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. And with that, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, please go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me personally and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with our director, Doug, and with Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all the co-hosts here on the Psychic View on Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic View. There is something for everybody here, so please spread the word. We would very much appreciate it and love to see you there. Now, please get your pen and paper ready, because in about a half hour or so, we're going to have call-in readings. So the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And hey, Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you. I was just really, it was just fascinating during the show because I have three cats and they were going crazy with affection during the show.
See that? They could feel the love.
Yeah, and I have one called Oscar. He's beautiful and he can be very standoffish. He's very gentle, but he's not the most affectionate and tactile cat. He was rolling around, squeaking and purring away. It was fascinating. Yep. I've never seen him do that.
Isn't that interesting? So what she was saying is that they pick up on energy.
Yes.
And it seems to me he was picking up on the energy, you know, that she connects so easily and was so comfortable. And she's very loving towards animals. You can hear that.
Absolutely.
You know, she's a loving person. So he's probably reacting to that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it was just interesting. I wasn't expecting that at all. And it's just fascinating. The animals do pick up on our energy. I find that my cat's mood changes with my moods. So they very much pick up how I'm feeling. So if I'm feeling really good, they're generally very buoyant. And if I'm feeling down, it definitely affects them.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? They're very sensitive to us and they love us and we love them. So that's neat. You know, I wanted to ask you, Steve, as a medium, do you also receive communication from animals in the spirit world?
Absolutely, Alora. You know, clients often ask, do animals pass to spirits as we pass to spirits? And the answer is yes. And animals come through so frequently in readings. I even read for a lady this morning and a turtle came through in her reading.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I know you'll find this really strange, but there's a turtle in your reading. I can see this turtle. And she said, yes, I did have a turtle. And very strongly. Yeah, they definitely stay with us.
Do you know why, from your experience, you know, what makes them come through like that or what sort of messages they have, or are they just kind of still with their, you know, their person, as Cynthia says they call us, their person even though they've passed on? What's your experience with that?
Well, when I read and when I connect with spirit, you're connecting with a person in spirit, you often feel very strongly the characteristics of that person. So you feel their persona, and as well as seeing their physical appearance and hearing what they're saying, etc. And it's the same with animals. You can feel whether the animal in spirit was really hyperactive or very laid back. You really pick up on their character. And as I said, I have a number of cats, and they have unique characters. And you do feel that when you connect with them in spirit. So absolutely, they come across in that way. And I would say, Laura, they come across because of love. I always say to clients, if you really want a member of your family or a friend or loved one in spirit to come through, then send them love and allow them to come through, because it's the love connection that enables us to communicate strongly. And animals come through very clearly because their love for us is just so genuine.
Yes. It really is. I mean, they just, you can see, they don't fake or deceive like, you know, people do. You know, we can kind of fake our facial expressions or have a different intention from what, you know, we're saying, have a different internal intention. So that's really neat. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
And I'm here now, you guys. I'm back. And I don't fake things. It's Maureen. I don't fake anything.
That's really Maureen. Hi, Maureen. Welcome back.
Me. Yeah, I came on the other side. Yeah, thank you.
I'm so glad. That's great, a little freaky. Oh, yeah, wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
Jackie,
like it.
Good deal. Well, we're going to be talking to you in just a minute, Maureen. We're so glad to have you with us. Jackie, on a spiritual level, is there a reason we choose one animal as a pet over another?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. I really, truly feel we do. You know, there's so many different pets that are available to us. You know, anything like Steve was saying, from a turtle, to a rabbit, to a cat, to a dog, you know, to hermit crabs, you know, and for example, let's say somebody was to choose, let's say a fish, for example, you know, what is it? I mean, I'm really big into symbols, and a lot of things are very symbolic, and that's kind of the way, you know, I bring through information. So the way I view this is, for example, if somebody was to, have a fish, you know, what they need for themselves is, something that doesn't require a lot of their time, but yet they still want to have the energy of the fish, which is, you know, in the water, and water in and of itself is a very soothing substance. So it's kind of like a whole different level, you know. So we have the fish and the water, and then what it represents. And from the person's perspective, which they may not be conscious of it, but I guess, like I'm saying, spiritually, on that much deeper level, they're drawn to that certain pet. So, if
yes,
that makes sense. Yes.
That does. That does. Actually, and you know, I work with native, the animal medicine from the native perspective. And my own, I get my own, you know, kind of spirit speaks to me about the representation of the animals as well, because I am personally not native, and you're right on the mark. They have very definite meanings and personal meanings to each pet owner, the type of animal, their nature, and from the native, you know, Anaya Barrera, in fact, I know you haven't met him, Jackie, but he's been a guest on our show a couple of times. He is a medicine man, and he told me many, many years ago that, you know, if you want to really learn about animal medicine, and this would really connect in with what you're talking about, if somebody wants to understand why they have a dog or a cat or, you know, and so forth, that you can study the characteristics of the animal, and eventually you'll understand what you need. They really are here to help you. And what I find with the animal medicine when I give the readings is that it empowers them. It brings balance into their lives. It's either something they have as a trait or something they need to acquire as a trait. And it will help bring them to balance.
Right. Absolutely. And I do want to also mention, I'm feeling guided to bring this through. For people that don't have pets in their home, I know for me, I do not have a pet. However, there's a bunny rabbit, a wild rabbit that comes in my yard frequently. So again, that is something that is there for a reason, number one. And number two, it's the energy, you know, it's who we are that is attracting, you know. So of course we choose our animal, but at the same time, you know, if we really slow down, you know, 10 to take a look and see what's in our environment. You know, there's birds, you know, we hear things. There's so much going on out in nature that if we take the time to really listen, we will notice one sound that's kind of more dominant than the other. And again, it's no accident. Like, why would we be noticing a bird as opposed to maybe like a dog barking or something? But what I'm getting at is that, you know, if we don't have a pet, we're, you know, still attracting, you know, the energy of animals.
Yeah, because you'll see one, you know, cross your path as you're walking down the road. That's significant. I've actually had animals stop and actually, like wild animals, it could be a crow or even a butterfly land on my shoulder and stay there for a while, you know, or birds flying in your yard and that sort of thing. You're absolutely right. That's really neat. Thank you.
Right. You're welcome.
Maureen, yeah. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah,
what can you tell us? You're back. You're back. We missed you. What can you tell us about the healing power of some of these animals, like horses and dogs and so forth?
And lions and tigers and bears.
You know, bears, oh my.
Let's do the Dorothy. You know, I wanted to say something that you two just spoke about just now, ended your conversation, about how you see certain animals. For a year or so, possums. Everywhere I went, the possums. Down the street, there were possums. It was like they were just there looking at me. They would cruise around the street. It's like they were all over. And, you know, there's possums around here, but it was interesting. It was like they were, like, trying to get a message to me. Honestly, I was getting...
No, I believe that.
Yes, and possums are trippy, but every time it's like, you know, those synchronicities, so I had to bring it up. And you're talking about ladybugs would land on me for a while, like for months. You know, and then all of a sudden it stopped, so I wanted to say that was interesting. You brought that up. It's so interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's neat.
Yeah, it is neat, you know, because there's no mistakes on that happening. It's just, you know, they're doing it because they're supposed to something about it. But, yeah, I would like the horses, as we, I know all of us, we must, you know, there have been so many movies out, but, you know, we all share love of horses. I'm not talking about just riding on horses, but, you know, horses are... Oh, they're so lovely. Oh my God, I'm choked up. Sorry. Uh-huh. Not only they're so lovely, but they're using them. Excuse me. Hold on. I thought of our family horse. I used to call Twinks, and he's no longer here. But yeah, horse. Anyway, you know, it is a fact. There's a fact about the modern medical establishment. They came to recognize and embrace something that horse people have appreciated for many centuries, and that's the healing power of the horse. So the therapeutic benefits of riding, just in the riding part of it, was recognized even as early as 400 BC. So there's a lot of, you know, things that go back in history. But the thing that, so, you know, I can go into, I'm not going to go more into that, but it was like rehabilitating it, somebody from a wheelchair by riding, like somebody that was to say physically challenged.
Yeah.
There was a particular woman called Miss Hotel. She was a polo victim, and she ended up going to Olympics. But not only that, so that's the one, you know, the
wow. Horse,
you know. But this is, I found it very interesting. But more than that, now I have seen some documentaries on the next thing I'm talking about, which has to do. There's some programs available which offers activities involving horses, and which are designed to rehabilitate people with a wide range of disabilities and problems, and a lot of them are children. So horses are being used in programs for even drug addicts and prisoners and troubled children and teens and also with medical problems. So riding therapy is successfully helping people with mental health issues. Really, that's a big thing right now, and learning disabilities. So I just think, you know, God, the horse is just so beautiful. And you know that feeling you get, I don't know, I get it, when you're up there and you're just connecting with the horse. I just think it's
yes,
for me, it's unbelievable. So there's been, there's just such a magical ingredient in the spirit of a horse that is just wonderful for us humans, boy, and I thank the horses.
Definitely. You're absolutely, yeah, me too. I do too. I used to go horseback riding all the time, and they're amazing animals. They teach you so much about yourself.
It's not even riding, even just being in the presence of them. It's helping, it's not even just to ride, but to ride, of course, but I know I love riding, but it's just even the touch and touching the way they come back, not that they're touching, but there is something special about it. You asked me about the other, their dog, do you want me to talk about the Caesar dogs?
Sure, dogs, yeah, do that.
There's a lot of, this is interesting, because I love this because I have epilepsy many years ago, I was diagnosed. But they, the Epilepsy Association, at least the one in Florida, and I know the other ones around the states, they have numerous requests about seizure dogs are called. So really they should be called, it's really interesting because really what they should be called is dogs that assist. So the term should be called seizure assistant dog. So is more of a valid way of putting it. But these dogs, many of the dogs report, and I know this, these are facts, that it doesn't happen all the time, but they're training them. But when somebody has some grand seizures, real intense, they have these certain dogs that can they pick up on it intuitively, as well as a person. But so therefore they can help their companion, their companion, a human being, to get lying down and to kind of signal them so they're safe. And so, because it can be really dangerous when you're having the grand mal, those are very dangerous. So they've been training them, and they don't know how it works, but they're saying the dog, their behavior starts getting really intense a few minutes before, sometimes even up to 10 minutes before some of these major seizures have come on from epilepsy. So it's fascinating. It really is fascinating. And,
it really is. Actually, I have a friend who's epileptic, and her dog was one of those dogs, and Kachi could tell when a seizure was coming on before it actually happened. It was amazing. Saved her life because she was driving a car.
Yep. And they're using a lot more they've done some science, backed it up, but I think dogs for the blind and such, but the dog's intuition are so, because they are insightful. And another thing is, I'm gonna end my little talk about this. The dog, all animals are wonderful, but the dogs, there was a story 2-3 years ago where I live in San Diego, and it's not the most pretty story, but I'll tell you something is pretty interesting. This dog was with this woman, her dog. This woman was trying to do herself exit life, and the dog had picked up on this, and the dog started biting on her face because he meant to help her, but he went too far, and devoured her face. And she lived, but he was saving her because he knew that she was dying. But
wow.
I know it's kind of, I don't mean to be morbid about it, but it really, when you objectively look at it, the dog didn't know what else to do. What else? If she had taken so many pills, he wanted to keep her. He devoured her face, and they had to do plastic surgeries, but she lived. He wouldn't let her die. And that, to me, is something. I mean, she must
have been. That is something.
It is. So there you have it.
That is neat. That's you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
That's so neat. I love these stories. Steve, do you believe that animals have supernatural powers?
I do. I believe that they have powers that we don't have as humans, and they're very much in tune with energy. I remember being on a business trip quite some time ago. I was flying back from the UK to the States, and I read a fantastic documentary. It's called The Supernatural Powers of Animals by the BBC, and it's just absolutely incredible. And it shows that animals have all kinds of powers. So sharks smell blood from over a kilometer away, and king parrots can detect ultraviolet rays. And these are capabilities that we don't have. And it extends also to plants. Apparently cotton plants emit chemical communication to wasps when they're attacked by caterpillars. And the wasps are attracted to come in and kill the caterpillars. And it's apparently even proven that plants are so sensitive that the attention of human touch can trigger growth. And, we all know how sensitive elephants are. Apparently they can hear each other from 10 kilometers away. And it's just, they're just fascinating. I think that they have wonderful senses and capabilities that we don't have, and they're certainly very telepathic. I remember every time I've taken a trip back to Europe, the evening before, my cats just know that I'm going away. Even before I get my suitcase out, they just know.
Wow.
their behavior changes. And apparently there's a documentary, I can't remember what it's called, it's quite some time since I saw it, but they basically, in this documentary, they had cameras watching how dogs behave in their own home, and they proved that when the owners go away, on their return home, when they get closer to the home, the dog starts to become more agitated, so the dog moves around much more and is much more animated than when the person is further away from the home. So they sense that you're returning to the property. I think that they're extremely psychic.
I do too. In fact, that's one of the reasons the native people believe that they are equal. All things are equal to us, whether it's trees, insects, animals, and so forth. And if we work side by side with them, and as guardians of the earth, as humans, imagine what we could all do together, rather than the way things are right now, where we have it. In general, the mainstream attitude is that we're above them. We're more intelligent than they are, and things of that nature. We're really not. We have different abilities, you know what I'm saying? And they are meant to complement each other and overlap, and we can make use of that together to better our world. So I think that's really wonderful. Please stay tuned as we take a commercial break. We're about to hear a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. If you're interested in a free reading, we are about to, in about 5 minutes, 4 minutes actually, we're going to take on-air calls for readings, and the number to call into is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Jackie, what are some of the gifts we receive from animals?
Hi, Laura. Some of the gifts, well, there are many gifts, you know, as we were saying earlier, animals really are here to teach us about unconditional love, and that is my big feeling about that and things I have heard many times from people. And one of the things, too, I want to bring up is, animals, particularly dogs, for example, are brought into, you know, there's a thing called therapy dogs where they're brought into hospitals, for example, of people who are in hospice even, you know, the later stages of their life, and to help them find a sense of love and peace, you know, just by giving them that comfort. You know, it's going to be very difficult to be at the last stages of your life, but imagine having a pet or somebody bringing a dog, you know, a cat even, and bring them there to help them. And I think that is a wonderful gift, you know, especially for people who are at the end stages of their life. And that was just one of the things I wanted to bring up.
I agree with you. I mean, that's the unconditional love. And they say, I know there's research that's been done in terms of how uplifting it is for patients to have those dogs come in and visit. I forget the name for it, but yes, the therapeutic animals, or pet therapy, I think that's what it is,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah, and, pet therapy.
You're absolutely right. It's really amazing. You can feel, I've seen those dogs. I've actually thought of doing that with my little girl, my dog, because she's just so loving. And
right.
But she's not very good around a whole group of strangers, so I thought I'd better
right.
mix that.
Exactly. And I think, too, you know, they train the dog. You know, there are certain kinds of training, I believe. I'm not 100% familiar. I know a friend of mine, her dog is a pet therapy dog. So there's certain training they do and such. But it's just the gift. I mean, we, you know, we have that gift, you know, by having a pet in our home, you know, just to, you know, you could be in the worst mood and everything just brightens up and it just gets so much better, you know, the minute you come through that door. And who's to greet you? You know, your pet with no judgment. They're not going to say, what's wrong? Did you have a bad day? They just come up and they kiss you and, you know, rub against your leg or, you know, jump on you. Who would not want to come home to that every day? I mean, it's just, that is the gift. That is the gift that they have. They don't question your feelings. And it's just, it's such an emotional connection to be able to, you know, it's just a gift. I just don't know how else to say it.
It really is. It's a loving thing, and they are consistent always.
Right.
They're not moody, right? Unless they're sick.
Exactly.
Not like we are. They're always the same every time you come in the door. It's like they haven't seen you for years. It's amazing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We have come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes in, you'll be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You'll be able to speak to us when you are placed on the air. Please try. The one thing we do ask is if you would, when you formulate your question to ask, the best thing to do is be very, very specific with your questions. If they're too broad, we can be here for hours. Seeing a lot of things. So we need to be very specific to fit the different callers in and to hone in and focus more directly on your area of interest. And so with that, I believe we have someone from Tennessee on the line. Hello? Hello? All right. Well, we'll go to the next caller from Washington.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Sure. What is your name?
My name is Andy.
Hi, Andy. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm just wondering what's in store for my career pathway. I'm in seek of a new career.
Okay, we will take a look at that. Is there a specific career you wanted to ask about? A specific field?
No, I'm just kind of still figuring out what my interests are, and I changed my mind too much, and now just kind of want to know where to head towards.
Okay. All righty, we're going to tune in. And if there's anybody who is getting an answer, please feel free to step forward.
Well, Andy, this is Steve. I wanted to ask you, I don't normally do this, but I wanted to ask you your date of birth, please.
11/20/91.
It's 20th of November, 1991.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I calculate your life number as 33, but let me just check that's correct. So, 9/9/18/22/33. So, you've got very, very good energy. You're a really caring person. You have extremely high integrity. You don't suffer fools gladly at all.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you, Andy?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you so far?
Yeah, that does.
Okay. And you're deeply spiritual, Andy, and I know it sounds like a cop-out, me saying that on a spiritual radio show, but you have a very deep spirituality, and you're very intuitive as well. 33 is a wonderful number. It's the third of the four master numbers, which are 11, 22, 33, and 44. So you will find that it's very important in your case that you really do something very meaningful, something that's very purposeful to you. You have a very important mission, and it's very important for you to, that in order for you to feel fulfilled, that you pursue a career that really enables you to make a difference. Now, you should be very good with children, because my guides are talking about being just fantastic communicating with and working with children.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, and I see you definitely working with children, but I see you, it's not purely teaching. And I don't mean to say, when I say purely, I don't mean to undermine teaching. It's a wonderful profession, but you have a very important mission, actually making a difference for children. You have a huge desire to get children out of poverty and sickness as well, and you should be interested in other countries and travel.
Yeah, no, that sounds just like me.
Yeah, so it's definitely the way for you to go. It's wonderful. And are you wearing a bangle or a bracelet? Because I have my spirit guides are talking about an unusual piece of jewelry on your left wrist.
My right wrist.
Your right wrist. Well, it's beautiful, and there's a lady in spirit whose name begins with M, and she's saying that she loves this unusual piece of jewelry that you have, and it's very symbolic of the wonderful person that you are. You'll do so well, so just aim high, and do even consider connections with huge organizations like the United Nations, because there are just no limits for you in terms of the work you'll do and the difference that you make. You're just fantastic, so go for it. I'll hand over to my colleagues to give you insight as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, after all that, the only thing I have to say is just try not to think too hard. I almost feel like you're trying too hard to get an answer as to which way to go, and I understand that because we all want a direction. But Spirit is saying, relax, just try and relax, let it go, and it will come more easily to you if you do that. You'll get an answer.
And I just want to mention that I just realized that what he's talking about is the bracelet that was on my left wrist was something my mom gave me, and it just broke recently.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Anything from anybody else?
Yeah, I would like to jump in, actually. One of the things I was getting for you is, I agree with everything that everybody was saying, was being more, it's this humanitarian nature, this helping the world, coming from this perspective of, the bigger picture. There's a bigger picture here for you. You're not somebody who's going to be sitting in an office staring at a computer. This is about being out, with people in nature, outdoors, traveling, like Steve was saying. What they're also wanting you to do is be outside more often, because that nature, the energy of the earth, is very soothing for you, especially for you. I don't feel you do good in harsh light, any kind of fluorescence indoors, so they want you to get out more and allow things to come to you, because you will be in a place of receiving by being out in nature. Like, that's your playground, and that's what they're saying to me, is being outside. So I just want to share that that with you as well.
Excellent. Thank you. We have another caller on the line from Idaho. Hello.
Oh.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing so well tonight. Thank you so much. What is your name before we begin?
My name is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy. Welcome. I like your energy.
Thank you.
What question do you have for us, Peggy?
I love your program.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
So thanks for sharing all of your gifts with us and also bringing us the great information that you provide.
Oh, you're so welcome. We appreciate the fact that you are getting something out of it and that you appreciate that. Thank you so much. Do you have a question for us at all?
Topic. I do. I'm just curious. I have thought that I was headed in many different directions, and every time and this is for career-wise, and every time I get headed in that direction, something will happen that will just, you know, derail it. So I believe that things happen for a reason. So maybe timing's off, or I was wondering if maybe some of you could help me with that.
Okay.
Okay, I'll jump in if nobody's coming forward.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this is Jackie. One of the things I'm getting for you is, you know, sometimes these kind of series of unfortunate events are really just helping you. It's like it's showing you even more so of what you're not supposed to be doing. You know, like sometimes we need to see things over and over and over. And that's fine. It's like, okay, I get it. You know, here we go again. I understand that. But this is really simple. Actually, what I'm really feeling strongly guided to tell you is all you really need to do at this point in time is take back this personal power, go within and just say, show me what I need to do. For some reason, on an unconscious level, there's a deeper part of you that feels you need to go through these, like, initiations, these hardships of, like, well, here we go again, well, here we go again. So all you really need to do is use your voice, and you could even speak it out loud, and just saying, show me what it is I need to do that is if like going to bring me in the right direction, you know, something along those lines that's going to help break this pattern. I feel like this is just an old pattern that is just repeating itself, but it's coming to a head now. I feel like it's just at the tip here where it's all going to shift, and it's going to shift anyway, but for you to claim that and say, okay, I get it, and I'm going to stop this now, it's just going to happen, and I feel like it's going to happen, like, within a few weeks, actually. It's going to move for you quickly.
I also get that something similar, that it's not so much that it's meant to be, that it really has more to do with your internal a pattern, so to speak, or the word that Jackie used, something about you creating this. So, really, don't be so shy. Bring out the cougar in you, so to speak, the lioness that says, hey, you know, I'm not going to be so easily deterred. Now, I'm not saying fighting something or if you're not interested in something, go down that road. But what I'm feeling is to accept that it's for a reason. Spirit wants me to go a different direction, a different one, a different one. Really what it's about is becoming more solid within yourself about it.
That makes sense.
And you'll make so that you're not so easily deterred. And because that is claiming your power, because you will know what is best for you by really connecting, knowing, you know, like if you ask yourself, how do I feel about this? Do I love this? Do I not? That right there tells you everything about what you enjoy and what you would like to do and what resonates with you and what your talents and abilities, what you would enjoy using your talents and abilities for or developing them for. So I really feel it has more to do with self-empowerment and being solid. It's not so much trying to throw a block up, no, don't go here, don't go there. So that's what I get for you.
Thank you. That does
You're
make
welcome.
A lot of sense.
Anybody else?
No, I don't at this time.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye. We have Maryland on the phone. Somebody from Maryland? I'm sorry, Oregon. Oregon. Do we have someone from Oregon on the line? I hear a slight buzz. I'm not sure if that's a voice. Is there someone there?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh my gosh, I got through. Oh, I'm from California.
Oh, you're from California. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it. May I ask what your name is?
Rupi.
Pardon?
Rupi, R-U-P-I.
Oh, Rudy. Hi, Rudy. Thank you for joining us. Okay. What is your question?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't really have anything in general. I guess I'm concerned about jobs. When I'm going to get work.
Okay. Well, is there a particular job that you're talking about, or something that you've applied for, or you just want to know when you'll find work, a timeline?
Well, see, I called them today, and they told me that they'll have the recruiter get back to me with the housing information. But does that mean I have a job and then moving on to the next position or to the next, you know, step, or are they just like letting me talk to the recruiter first before they hire me? So it's just really weird how that happened today.
Okay, so are you asking about this particular job or any job?
Yes.
Yeah, which one? This particular job?
Yes, it's working with computers.
Oh, working with computers. Okay. So the question is, are you going to get the job, this particular job, working with computers?
I get something for... is it Rudy? Did she say Rudy?
Rupi. I'm sorry, Rupi. I think it's R-U-P-I.
No. Okay. Hi, Rupi. A cool name. I did pick up on something that I can share with her. Is that okay? I'll go
sure.
for it.
Go for it.
Okay, here I go. You know, my feeling is this. There's a lot of stuff going on with you, but I get a feeling that wherever you're at right now, it just doesn't look real positive for your well-being. And I don't know why, but it looks like you're just, for some reason, it's like you're not going to acknowledge. I see you heading towards more of like a student, or as a student would, maybe not conventionally, but learning about something new, but you're going to really be able to grasp hold of whatever this is. And you look like things are going to be a little difficult for you, but like I see you finding your way, like within 4 months, you're a really hard worker, you have a lot of patience, but you work so hard that you don't ever get to see, you know, what is it called, the fruits of your labor. After you've been working so hard, I think it's just been kind of bad timing. I don't know if it's going to be this computer thing. I think it's going to be something different. But I see you being extremely happy in the direction you're taking. Now, this, like I said, it looks like more within a 6 month period of time, and it looks like something new. But you're going to have to get some more insight on it. Like I said, if there's any way if you want to learn knowledge or go back into a school type of situation, I encourage you to do so. And there's women around, some people are just not really that healthy for you to be around, but I've seen some really good things coming for you, but it will be difficult. And that's what
I also, yeah. Thank you, Maureen. I also
I
see that this...
I'm getting what you're saying.
Pardon?
Are you trying to tell me? Because I'm having issues hearing you. I can hear you, but I couldn't hear her.
You were able to hear Maureen?
I can hear you, but I can't hear her.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things I get is that particular position, you probably, I'm not seeing that there's a good probability that you would get that. And what Maureen was saying was that she feels that your surroundings aren't really very supportive in some way, And so it will be difficult for you, but she does see things opening up for you in about 6 months. So it will be good, but it could be a difficult road in the meantime. But you will get a job, and you may find yourself developing yourself more through more learning or whatever it is. But so you have a little bit further to go, but when you get there, it'll be good.
Opening up for you in about 6 months. So it will be good.
Yeah, no, because I'm actually still a student. I've applied to law school, and I'm still waiting to hear back from that. But in the meantime, I was looking for work.
Excellent. Well, law school takes a while between the applications and taking the entrance exams, and that would make sense. So,
I've already taken it. I'm just waiting to hear back now.
Good for you. Good for you.
And Laura, can I just chip in briefly?
Sure.
Because I know Rupi. I've spoken to Rupi a couple of times, Rupi, and it's lovely to hear your voice again.
Hi.
And I know I was surprised when you were talking about computers. I was a bit surprised because I was thinking, oh, it doesn't feel like the right longer term opportunity for you. And I your name's very distinct, so or very distinguished. And I was thinking of law school, but I know we've talked about that before, Rupi, and I hang on with the law school applications because I felt that you would get notice or notification from I felt that you would get two offers,
right.
And I thought that you would have received them by the
you
middle of this
right.
week by you yesterday
right.
Wednesday.
I actually
and,
heard back.
Sorry?
I heard back. They actually already requested my report. So it's moving along. So you were right. Within 7 days.
Good. Yeah, stick with that, Rupi. So I'm really excited for you because law school is definitely the way for you to go. You've worked so hard and you're so very committed to that path. I'm really glad that you've heard news because I was very confident, or my guides were saying that you're absolutely going to be rewarded with a good offer, a great program because of your commitment and your intelligence. So go for it. And you know, see this work opportunity is something that's very temporary, because you're definitely going down the law route. And I'm so delighted to hear that it's working out for you. You're going to do really well.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, well, it was either the computer job or it was working with children, and I have not heard back from them yet. So, yeah, I heard back
well,
from
it's-
these people.
Rupi?
Yes.
Are you still there? I'm sorry. Did you have another question that you're asking? Is that what you're
asking? I had applied for the IT job as well as working with children with HIV, and I haven't heard back from the HIV Hamilton Family Center.
Okay. I'm still seeing that it's going to take a while for you to get something, so hang in there. I am going to have to move on to the other callers in the meantime, Rupi, but thank you so much for joining us. We have a caller on the line from Maryland. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how are
Hello?
You tonight?
Just fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. May I ask your name?
Sure, it's Rochelle. I have to say hello to Jackie and Steve. Love you guys.
We
love you too.
You.
Thank you. We love you too.
Michelle, you have a question. What would
question.
You like to ask?
I wanted to ask a question about my cat, actually. I missed the first part of the show, unfortunately, but I think it was about animals this time, was it? My cat is really, really, really shy of everyone, but has an amazing personality, and I was just wondering if I could, I feel like she's my soulmate, but I would like her to, like, come out of her shell and be, like, you know, show everyone else her amazing personality. I know it's a weird question, but that's what I'm calling about.
Okay, so what? Just that I understand, can you formulate your question? Are you asking if she will come out of her shell?
Is there anything I can do to make her feel more comfortable. I think she's maybe traumatized for some reason. She's just really scared of everybody. But when we are together, she's just so fun and loving. She's so smart. And I don't know. I just wonder if there's something I can do to make her more comfortable around other people.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, what was your name? This is Maureen.
Michelle.
Michelle.
Hi, Maureen.
Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Can you hear me okay? I know the other callers said they couldn't hear me. Michelle, can you hear me okay?
I can hear
Michelle,
you fine.
Michelle, you can.
You can. Okay. Well, I wanted, when you were talking, I got something about, it looks like you've been through some painful, like broken heart, like something that was pain, you know, that the cat would pick up on it. Your cat would pick up on it. But if you're going through, it's already happened, but it was like, pardon me?
No, I'm sorry. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I can hear a back. I can hear echoing, and I wanted to make sure that wasn't you. Anyway, it's like there's some pain. It's like I said, it's already happened, but it's still very, very, like it hurts still. And I think she's very, it's a she cat, right? A she?
Right.
Your cat's a she?
Yeah.
She, yeah. I'm she. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, my feeling is this, that I think she's very protective of you, and like you said, around other people, you'd like to have them know that, take note of her being so wonderful, which is a great thing. But I don't think that that's what her intention is, because, you know, this is the way I see it. Cats, and I've brought this up before, but, you know, cats were never mentioned in the Bible. The dogs were domesticated. Out of all the domesticated animals, cats were never mentioned. There's a theory about that maybe they came from above. And you know how cats usually sometimes will look at, they'll be above us. They'll look down at us, and dogs look up at us, you know, like they do. And cats are so enlightened that they're maybe from a higher dimension. And I just think your cat's very in tune with you and protective. And I think that's your cat's priority is being protected, because you've been through some painful things, like I said, particularly this one I'm picking up on in the past, but it's still painful. And I think it's a lovely relationship, and I think when it's time that, and some people may not get it either, if she was to, but I don't know, I just think it's a very special cat you have there.
Yeah,
it's just funny.
It does feel like that. It definitely does.
It's beautiful.
And you're so on point about going through, you know, something recently and still kind of getting over a heartache. You kind of hit the nail on the head there, too.
Yeah, well, bless your heart. I can, yeah. Your cat's real special. And, you know, like I said, cats are, it is an interesting theory that maybe they're from another, they weren't ever talked about, not all the dogs were in the Bible. I mean, it's interesting to me anyway. So cats are pretty enlightened, and they're with the people they're supposed to be with, and that's, I don't know, it's a lovely thing. I just pick up a really good feeling, and especially your pain, and just your cat just can, is really there and present for it, you. Yeah, it's lovely. That's it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. We have a caller from Pennsylvania. Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you? We're doing well, thank you. How about you?
Good. I've been a long-time client of the Psychic Access. Absolutely wonderful network.
Oh, thank you. Is this Michael?
No, this is actually Tommy. Who am I speaking
with? Tommy, you sound like Michael. Thank you, Tommy.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Alora.
Alora, I don't know if you remember. I talked to you a long time ago. I've talked to Steve. I've talked to Maureen. I don't think there's probably anybody on your line I really haven't talked to.
Well, good. You get a diversity of experience, and you get it again
tonight.
I'm just
going to tell you the truth. You know, I might as well get it out there, right? You know?
Exactly.
You guys are a great,
Tommy,
people,
what is
great company.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. What is your question for us tonight?
Okay, well, I'm going to ask a question I've asked all of you, and it's varied between different ones of you. I'm wondering either if you feel my ex and I will reunite or if I will meet somebody soon.
Okay. By the way, Doug wants me to tell you he says hi. Did you hear me, Tommy?
I didn't hear everything, hon.
Okay, Doug wants me to say hello to you for him. You want me to pass that on to you tonight?
Doug must love me. Doug, I'm your best customer, I think.
But anyway, we will. We'll look at that. So you want to know if you want to get back with your ex or if you're going to find someone else?
I do want to get back with her, but I mean, if that's not what's meant to be, I mean, you know, God has a reason for all of us to be here. I mean, you know, I mean, we, you know, the good Lord knows what's going on, but, you know, either whether I would like to get back with her, but if it's not her, am I going to meet somebody in the near future that, you know.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a look at that. Hang on. Oh,
that's funny. Doug's a great guy.
He is.
Yeah, he is great. This is Maureen, Tommy, and I just met you earlier. Yes, he's great. You're great, too, though, Tommy.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. And it was an absolute pleasure talking to you this afternoon. I don't get to catch you very often. You know, I broke my shoulder, and I have three pins holding my shoulder together right now, as I told you earlier, Maureen, so I have a lot more time on my hands.
Wow. Hey, Jackie, did you... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I heard somebody take a breath. Somebody was going to say something.
That was me. And Tommy, nice to meet you. I'm new here at Psychic X. So I'm going to share with you kind of what I'm picking up for you. What I'm feeling for you, excuse me, is this kind of thing that's going on for you with your, is it your ex, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I feel this is about really kind of just closing the door on the past. I don't feel that this is something that's going to, I don't feel like it's going to be a reconnection, a reconciliation. But for you, like one of the reasons in your life is teaching you by this experience that you're having is that you have started to become more assertive. Like you in the past were tend to I don't want to say this the wrong way, but, you know, the wife wore the pants, basically, in the relationship. So what happened was you're being taught through these experiences to express yourself, your what you need, you know, you having a voice in the relationship. You've been assertive. You've been doing that. Excuse me. And I hear the angels are like, they're clapping their hands and they're patting you on the back and they're commending you and they want you to know that they're acknowledging that you've been assertive, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because of somebody like yourself who tended to be like a wallflower almost, that this was a big step for you. So they're just congratulating you. And by doing that and being more expressive of who you are and your needs, like your energy now, because of these things that you're doing and you're raising your frequency, you know, it's just not going to resonate with your ex-wife because you're the one who is changing. And that level of energy, again, just there's not a match anymore. But by you changing, there is going to be somebody because there is this desire in your heart, you know, to have the kind of relationship that you want. So this is really wonderful news. It's about, you know, saying goodbye to the old. And it's not so much the old being the ex-wife, but it's also the old part of who you used to be. And you're in a great place. You're in a wonderful place, Tommy. So I just want to share that with you.
Okay. I just have, it's actually an ex-girlfriend. The only thing is what I have a hard time is, and this is the thing, is she is 10 years younger than I. It'd be about a month ago. I mean, we lived together for 2 years. All she wanted to do was get married. She was young. I wouldn't marry her. Less than about a month ago, she even said to me one night, "We're going to get married someday. Just let me just do what I need to do." You know, she says she wants to marry. Basically what she does is, drags me in, pushes me away, and it's getting hard. And I'm getting to the point now, I'm just being a little bit more, well, like you said, I'm getting a little bit of an attitude for myself. I was always the doorstop for everybody. Now, I'm not going to get taken advantage of by anybody anymore. I think, I get so many conflicting right. advices.
Right. Right. Does anybody else get anything for Tommy before we move on?
Well, I would like to say this, Tommy. Remember, I think I mentioned to you today, useless sacrifice and useful sacrifice. I think if you remember me explaining what that meant, you know, if you're going to be crucified, it's nice to be able to resurrect. in this case, it's coming up again that I get a feeling that as the situation is right now, it looks like it's useless sacrifice on what you can do. You're powerless to what's going on, as you know, with her. But I do feel that you're soon, like real soon, you have a lot of strength available. I want you to really remember that you do have strength available, like no tomorrow, which is a good thing. And I do feel that it's a really good time for you maybe to focus in on yourself and your creativity. There's something I see you doing that would be really positive for your well-being and also your true self. And I see that what happens is there'll be a lot more movement going on, meaning moving, not so much stagnation. So it's almost like by focusing on yourself, and I do see you, it's going to be a little bit difficult and rocky. There's a light hair colored woman I see around March who is very vision oriented. She has really an interesting eyes. Her hair is lighter. And I don't know if this is the woman that's having her issues, and I know, but she looks very fascinating, but she's very present. She'll be very present in the moment with you. It's a good person. But I'm not clear if you know of her yet. I'm not clear on that. But you're a good guy, and I think you deserve really a good partner that will work with you on life.
Thank you, Maureen.
Appreciate that. I hope that helped.
Sure. We have a caller on the line from Indiana. Hello? Hello? Indiana? Are you there? Okay, well, maybe they'll come back, but if not, we certainly have some chat room questions, so I'll start with the first one. This is from Triplet Mom Beth. I have a question about my son with autism. He is nonverbal, and he is one of my triplets. I wonder if he has any needs that he wants us to address or if he is happy with his life. She also asks, she wonders if he is healthy as he is very thin and very picky eater. Thanks. Triplet Mom, I want to let you know when it comes to health questions, really it's important. We have to redirect you back to the medical doctors for that. We can kind of look and tell you what, you know, we might see he may need, but always, always, always take him to a doctor to get checked, okay? That's our advice first and foremost. But getting back to the question, he's autistic, he's nonverbal, and does he have any needs that he wants her to address, or is he happy with his life?
Alora, this question is in the chat room.
Yes, this is a chat room question.
Okay, is this in the which chat room is it? Is it from the PTN chat room or the regular chat room?
Yes, regular Psychic Access one.
Okay, so I'm not seeing that question in the chat room. I can't.
No, it was quite a while. It was quite a while ago, and what I did is I took them as they came along, as we can't keep the callers on the line, I wanted to be sure and take that. So,
I was going to say you have a wonderful memory.
No, it isn't that good.
I have a memory of goldfish, as we're talking about animals, or fish. Can you just tell me the highlights of that question again, please, Alora?
Sure.
Because I do have something.
Okay. She says, I have a question about my son with autism. He is nonverbal, and he is one of my triplets. I wonder if he has any needs that he wants us to address, or if he is happy with his life.
Well, I get a strong feeling that this boy is really beautiful, and he has a beautiful light in his eyes. My guides say that he's very much aware of his surroundings, and you can just see how much he notices from his eyes. Now, my guides say that he will speak. So I want to just really encourage this person in the chat room not to give up on the potential for this child to speak, because my guides feel that he will. He just is taking his time over it, but he's very gifted. He has enormous healing energy, and he has lots of gifts, and I feel that in time there'll be huge progress from him, and you know, to be positive about the future for him, because I feel that he will really turn around.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We've run out of time. I know we have some other chat questions, and I'm sorry we could not get to them tonight. But please join us next week. Please call in and ask your questions. We'll be happy to answer whatever questions we can. That brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. I wish to thank my co-hosts and our executive producer, Doug, as always, for being there for us. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what can we look forward to next week?
Well, next week's going to be exciting, Alora. We're going to be talking about mediumship with Lisa Lano, who is a medium. And we'll be talking about the best ever examples of mediumship. So we'll have a lot of interaction as a group, and we'll discuss some of the finest examples of mediumship that we're aware of in our experience. So we'll talk about people like Gordon Higginson, Lisa Williams, psychic artist Coral Polge. It will be a really interesting and factual show about evidence that we have experienced from mediums in the past.
Oh, that will be very cool. That's going to be a fun show.
It will, yeah.
I'm going to get a lot out of that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Maureen, would you like to bid everybody adieu?
Yes, I would like to bid everybody adieu. I do declare. And I'm sorry that it was kind of awkward tonight with my situation, but we did it. I did it. We did it.
We did it. We did it.
And it was
no worries.
Great show. It was a great show, Laura. I really loved the interview you did.
Oh, thank you. Oh, she's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Maureen. Jackie, how about you?
Oh, it's wonderful. I was so happy to be here, and the show was, it was really amazing. The woman had such great energy and so much wonderful information. And I'm, you know, my first show, and I'm very grateful. So I wanted to thank you and everybody and the co-hosts and Doug and everybody in the chat. So, thank you. Thanks for making everything.
Yeah. You fit right in. It was natural.
It's great to have you here, Jackie.
Lovely Jackie. Yes. Lovely woman. Lovely.
Thank you.
How about you, Steve?
Well, I just want to say good night and thank you to everybody that's listening to the show. The energy was just great, and well done to you, Alora. I just wanted to remind our listeners to please tell their friends and family about the show on Facebook or by text, however they want to do that, because we really want to get more and more listeners and really build the energy. You know, we'll talk about mediumship next week, and people sat together in mediumship circles to really build the energy. So it's really important that we do that as well for the show. So thank you to everybody for listening, and I'll look forward to next week.
Thank you. Thank you all for being with us tonight. We look forward to having you with us again next week. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.